Hey, Jeff and Scott, I just want to leave you a message, not really a question, but to share a figure story with you guys. My grandmother just passed away this morning, and I wanted to call while it was still fresh and just share a few of my memories that are always brought up when I listen to the podcast, because my grandparents, I spent every weekend with them until I was in high school, and they would always bring me to buy toys. A lot of times on Sunday afternoons, we would go to a local arcade and then go to the Toys R Us nearby. And when I think of my happy memories with toys, a few of them are in my room growing up in my parents' house, but most of them were in my grandparents' house. That's where all the toys are stored. That's where my Hasbros still are to this day, even though I'm in my 30s. I've always left them there because every Saturday night I used to play with my toys there, and a lot of times I would put on a show, and I don't know how, but my grandparents, I would like book a total card with my grandparents, with the Hasbros. There's this great line called WMAC Masters. And if you and you guys had that, but I used to take some of their play sets and make like entrance stages. My grandfather helped me make an arena. He was an engineer, so we did this whole thing. We created guardrails. I used to have ladder matches and hang a title belt from the light fixture they had in their living room. And I would print out the cards. These are all the matches. And my grandparents, I don't know how they did it, looking back now, but they would sit there and watch. And part of the reason I love listening to the podcast is because every time there's a discussion about Hasbro, that memory comes to my mind, even if I'm not consciously thinking about it. And then the last thing I wanted to do was share a quick figure story. Hope this isn't getting too long, but I was at a convention a couple of weeks ago, and the one Hasbro figure I never got as a kid was Nails. And for years, I thought about buying it. James Franco always asked me, like, why did you want Nails so much? And because that was the one Hasbro, for some reason, I had every other one, the green cards, we can never find Nails. And I was at a show, and I saw Nails, mint on card, the top was a little ripped, and I was like, oh my God, that was my first time seeing Nails in person. And I saw it, and I got an amazing price off the guy, and my mother happened to be visiting my grandmother in the nursing home where she was, and I was able to FaceTime them with the Nails in mint on card and say, look, Grandma, I finally got the one figure, because they would take me, and we searched for that thing forever. So before she died, not only did I buy the Nails, but I got to tell her, and she couldn't really talk, but she saw that after all these years, we've completed the circle. So I think that will be the favorite figure that I ever have in my life. And I just wanted to thank you, Jeff and Scott, for the podcast, because I think about my grandparents and all these happy memories constantly. And I would not be thinking about action figures at all if I had not come across your show. So I hope this isn't too long. You can edit it if it is. But I love you guys and wanted to share that great story. And I hope that many of the listeners have had similar great stories with their grandparents. Thanks so much, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gonna be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He's sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 220 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast, the longest running episodic wrestling figure podcast going today for over 4 years, a revolutionary force in wrestling figure podcast entertainment. My name is Jeff. Sitting alongside next to me is my real life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Dude, I brought it on there. I brought that from the diaphragm.
Yeah, there was some thunder there. You're feeling it this week.
Oh, dude. I get a couple extra hours of sleep a week because I'm not going to the gym in the morning because there is no gym right now. I've got my pistols going because I have no arms right now.
They're no longer guns.
They're no longer guns. They're bananas.
Cap guns, maybe.
Scott, what is going on over there, man?
Man, just doing like everybody else, chilling at home, streaming a bunch of shows. Ask me anything about Tiger King and that bitch Carol Baskin. I'll tell you all about it. Aside from that, dude, it's really weird. This is going to take some getting used to. I don't know how long I'm personally going to be in the house, but it's definitely going to take some getting used to. It's very strange. I'm not used to playing this many video games, streaming this many shows. It's a trip, but I'm enjoying it. It's nice to have the time with the family. It's really weird having Peyton home from school, and she does a few things on the computer for school, and then she's like done. So it's weird. It's going to take some getting used to, but I think I'm going to be able to get into this groove. The one wish that I have is that WWE Network would create a playlist to where you could go on and, for example, call it your quarantine playlist, and it has a bunch of matches that you enjoy, or you have one called my drunken playlist, and it would have like Awesome and Tanaka. It would have Brock, Seth, and Roman from WrestleMania Play Button. You know, all those matches that you watch when you're hammered. And then it could be like best of Alicia Fox matches.
Best of Alicia Fox matches?
There wouldn't be anything on there. See, that would be the joke.
Ah, well done. Well done.
It would be the fastest one ever. But then you could have like my favorite WrestleMania matches. Just be able to go and put like a bunch of matches into a playlist. So you just jump on, boom. Instead of having to go back and forth between pay-per-views and queue up the match. Kind of a pain in the butt. If I had a wish for WWE Network, kind of wish list here, it would be a playlist feature.
I've noticed that none of the AWA matches with Buddy Rose and Doug Summers against the Midnight Rockers is on there. At least I can't find it. I see some AWA stuff. Like there was the new Midnight Rockers with Dennis Condrey and Rose. What was his first name?
You mean the new Midnight Express?
Sorry, you're right. New Midnight Express. I apologize.
Randy Rose and Dennis Condrey.
Thank you. Midnight Rockers. It was the Midnight Rockers versus the new Midnight Rockers.
Rookie move, bro.
But I noticed I can't find any of the matches with Playboy Buddy Rose and Summers against the Midnight Rockers, the Bloodbath.
It's on there. You're talking about that steel cage match?
Yeah.
Okay, it is on there. I'll have to try to find it and then I'll shoot you the info, but I just watched that one like a month ago. But it is on there, and in fact, the match that led to the blood feud itself that took place on the AWA primetime show,
yes,
that match is on there as well, when they busted both rockers open, and one was hugging the other outside the ring, like protecting him from Rose and Summers. Yep. Really good stuff. That one is on there as well, so I'll find him, and I'll shoot you the info on how to get there.
Sometimes this is hard to navigate. Like, it has AWA stuff, and it has, like, two shows from 1987 and a show from 1988, and I'm kind of like, meh. If you look under AWA ESPN, there's only, like, one episode. Now, I don't know what the legals are of it, if ESPN owns the rights to it, or I don't know all that, but at the same time, I was like, okay, where's the cage match? Where is the match leading up to the cage match, like you just said? So I can't find any of that right now, but there's so much on the network that I'm watching, like Saturday Night's Main Event or old WCW pay-per-views, that it's keeping me entertained.
Nice. Yeah, it's a ton, right? It's a huge, huge library. Another wish list would be the Crockett Cup. I would love if they'd put that up on the network. I'm sorely needing some tag team tournaments in my life, and I would love to watch a few of those Crockett Cups. But see, it's one of those things, too, like you mentioned, you couldn't find the Rockers versus Rose and Summers. How cool would it be that when you do, instead of having to be like, okay, so I went here and here and here to get here, you could just dump it right into a playlist, and you don't need to go anywhere except right to your playlist to bring it up next time you want to watch it.
That would be awesome if you could do that, but sometimes it's a little difficult to navigate.
Well, if Triple H is listening, Triple H, could you please have your guys, your techs, get to work on that playlist? Thank you.
And add more episodes of Superstars, please.
Yes, please. That as well.
Make it happen, three H's. The man of three H's. H's.
And the Crockett Cup, too. That would be great. Thank you.
Again, I'm going to say it this week. Go purchase stuff from independent wrestlers on Pro Wrestling Tees. What a Maneuver. Purchase anything from stores they may have or items that they may have for sale. Go support independent wrestlers over at Pro Wrestling Tees. Go to Figures Toy Company. Pick up figures from there. Small companies that could use your hard-earned dollars right now. If you have some money to spare, please spread it around among the independent wrestlers. I know good brother Mike picked up a Danhausen pin. Also had Danhausen give us a shout out, Scott.
That was amazing. Thank you so much, GBM. The guy does a giveaway and then gets us the thing from Danhausen. That's just incredible. Thank you, GBM.
Yeah, that was awesome. I love Danhausen on that. He's all, Scotthausen and Jeffhausen. I was like, that's great.
We have new names, folks.
Right. So hit up any of those independent wrestlers that you want to support over at Pro Wrestling Tees, over on What a Maneuver. Go to Figures Toy Company. Support them over there. Whatever you can do to help out, it's all greatly appreciated among them. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram Fully Posable WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, any of them at all on FullyPosablePodcast.com. Download that Podbean app if you are on the go. Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. And we're also on Google Play, Scott.
Yay! Yeah. We made it.
Please rate and review on iTunes. Scott, this week it comes in from Logan the Ginger. I'm just kidding. It's Barry the Beard. I'm just joking.
This is really Barry the Beard? Is that the name?
No. Logan. I joke around that Logan the Ginger is Barry the Beard.
Oh, so this is the review you read last week where you said it was Barry. Gotcha.
He didn't update his review because I didn't apologize.
Can you stop messing with Barry?
Barry's picking a fight with me, man.
No, I don't think he is. Barry's not that type of guy. Barry's all about humor and snack foods. You're all about heel turns and being snarky. So you just settle down.
What?
And stop picking on Barry. Leave Barry alone.
No, I will never stop picking on Barry O.
You keep your liver spotted tongue off my Barry.
That's disgusting. No, I'm not going to. But if you guys want to send any reviews, that would be greatly appreciated if you could head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review, 4-star review, 3-star review, 2-star review, 1-star review. We will even read that. We have done that numerous times.
Yeah, we haven't had many, but we'll read them.
Yeah, boring, just boring, dude.
Hey, I made a shirt.
Thanks for the money.
Thanks, pal.
You can send us any audio questions, or anything else at all to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, it is WrestleMania season, and usually at WrestleMania season, we are doing the Fig Life meetup. So, right now, I am imagining that we are at the Tampa Stadium Wing House, and I see Hova walk through the door. This is going to be like Romper Room.
I see Hova. I see Travis.
I see Tara. I see Drew.
And there's Breaker.
So this is like Romper Room, and everybody is coming through the doors, and I'm seeing everybody right now. So the only thing that is not in front of us is any alcoholic beverages or Pedialytes. So just imagine that they are there.
Wait. There's no drinks in front of us?
I have water to the left of me.
Oh, well, I mean, I do too, but if I had known we were going to do a pretend meetup, I would have brought something that wasn't water.
Well, run down to your fridge and grab something real quick.
Oh, what? That's Bush League. What are we doing here? I can't just leave the microphone. What, are you going to just sit there and riff while I'm gone?
Yeah, I'll tell jokes.
You know, like one joke, dude. I'm going to be gone longer than that.
Oh, okay. Don't leave me.
Yeah, that's not a wise plan.
Please don't leave me, Scott.
Yeah, I didn't plan for this. I can't riff.
But anyways, I'm just pretending that we are at the Tampa Stadium Wing House because right now this show is dropping between 4 and 6 p.m. on Friday, April 3rd, because that's what I'm going to do is this show is going to drop when we were supposed to have the meetup.
I love it.
So I'm hoping you guys are listening to it during that time, because if you're not, then the whole thing is ruined. But we're having a good time. We're sitting out on the deck of Tampa Stadium Wing House, and we're having all of our buddies there, eating wings, drinking beers, and just having a good time. One thing I loved about when we had Hova on a couple weeks ago, Hova made a comment. He goes, you know what's cool about the Fig Life meetup is that you're sitting there among your friends. You could have never met this person sitting to your left before, but next thing you know, you start chatting up with them, and 2 hours goes by and now everybody's getting up, just leaving, going, okay, Fig Life meetup is over. And he's like, oh crap, that went by quick.
Yeah.
That's one of the best things about the Fig Life meetup is the camaraderie and the friendships you make from that.
Oh, absolutely. It starts off as figures, but then you realize that you have more in common and you develop a real friendship from it. And you're right, Jeff. That is the coolest part of the Fig Life meetup. And again, a huge disappointment that we weren't able to have it this year. But we're releasing the show at the same time the meetup was supposed to happen, same date. So I guess it kind of works a little bit.
So, Scott, are you doing any finger poke of doom on the internet?
Actually, funny you mentioned that. I actually just did that today.
What'd you get?
I did not get any wrestling figures because currently I'm good on wrestling figures. I've been taken care of by the Fig Life community. Huge thanks to all that helped me get the figures that I need to put up on the wall. So, based on our conversation last week, I bought that Snake Eyes figure today.
Oh, you did?
I did. I sunk the $50, shipped, and he'll be in my hands end of April, and I can't wait. Awesome figure. I know it's not wrestling figures, but it's still, I love G.I. Joe, still do, so I'm super excited to have that one come into the collection.
There's kind of an omission. You said last week that the website was Vanny, but it is not. Why don't you give the corrected one?
Yes, my apologies for that. Again, at my advanced age, I'm lucky to remember what I did 5 minutes ago. So the website that you want to go to is zavvi.com, Z as in zebra, A-V-V-I. So Z as in zebra, A, V as in Victor, V as in Victor, I.com. And they've got the Snake Eyes available for pre-order up there. It's $39.99, and then after tax and shipping, it's like another $13. So it's like $52, $53 shipped. So if you want that Snake Eyes, Hasbro Pulse is sold out, but they still got it. So go grab them if you want them.
So what's the difference between the Hasbro Pulse one and the Zavvi?
Well, no. It's the same figure. It's just Zavvi is another distributor of the Hasbro figures. Much like Megalopolis is carrying the Hasbro G.I. Joes.
Yes.
Zavvi does as well. But Zavvi got the Snake Eyes exclusive to be able to set up for pre-orders.
Okay.
Yeah, and I just saw Megalopolis got those G.I. Joe figures in too. Megalopolis actually just put a bunch of new figures up for pre-order, WWE figures. So if you're interested in some of those for a little bit cheaper than where you find them elsewhere, definitely give Megalopolis.toys a spin. But yeah, I've got Snake Eyes coming to the collection and can't wait to see them.
So Breaker sent over some of the new ones that new G.I. Joes are coming out. And there's one guy, his name is Destro?
Yes.
Dude, that figure is excellent.
So do you not remember Destro as a kid?
I don't, dude.
You weren't a G.I. Joe kid.
I remember a little bit. The only thing I really remember about the G.I. Joe cartoons is the ending. Hey, kids, don't do this. Or, you know, those funny little don't do cartoons. Don't go swimming without life preserver or something like that. Or,
and when that one showed up wanting to give the kids a body massage. You remember that one?
What?
Yeah. But moving on, you don't remember Destro from the G.I. Joe cartoon, but you weren't a G.I. Joe kid. But yeah, he's probably like the coolest looking. Like the guy's got a metal head. Like that's pretty awesome. A metal head and like a human body. It's like, what is this guy, part robot? Or, but it's cool. He's like, he's got a cool character story. So if you've never really gotten into G.I. Joe, it's kind of worth it to go investigate some of these guys and wait till you see the figures. They are awesome.
They look really, really good. Breaker was sending them over and I'm like, oh man, Hasbro's killing it again. They killed it on the Power Ranger figures, and now they're killing it on the G.I. Joe figures.
Yeah, I've got to be selective of which ones I'm going to get, because again, this one alone was like $50-something shipped. The standard issue figures are going to be anywhere between $20 to $25, kind of like elite WWE pricing. And it's going to make me be really selective of which ones I want, and then I'm thinking, okay, what if they start doing like chases or variants? Or way back in the day of the original G.I. Joe line, the one from, I shouldn't say original because it's not the original, but a real American hero line from the 80s, they did a lot of mail-away figures. Cobra Commander and his helmet. They did Major Blood, Refrigerator Perry, Sergeant Slaughter, not the LJN style one. They actually did a 3¾-inch mail-away. And I'm wondering if they're going to do something like that as well, do a mail-away program, which I would love to see. But I don't know all the details yet, but I just know what I've seen so far, I love. It's cool to see 80s toys rehashed, and they've done a great job with them so far.
So, Scott, since it's WrestleMania season, you and I were talking, and what we wanted to do is we were going to go down a list. We originally had 5, but then it turned into 10?
Something like that.
Yeah.
96? I don't know. I lose count. 38? Who knows?
But what we were going to do is we were going to go over our favorite figures of guys in their WrestleMania attire. So, Scott, why don't you go ahead and throw one out?
How about Jax, Classic Superstar Series 1, Ultimate Warrior? And that would have been from his WrestleMania 6 match with Hogan.
Excellent, excellent. What about Macho Man defining moments? We could throw either one, WrestleMania 7 or WrestleMania 3.
Both home run figures. And of course, you're going to see the defining moments Macho Man in this list, right? We would be completely remiss if we didn't say that one. Great figures, both of them. Just, and again, we're going to get to the nostalgia segment later. We're going to talk about a few more defining moments figures. But man, how good is that Macho WrestleMania 7 figure? It's just, it's off the charts good.
It's on everybody's list as their favorites.
Definitely. And the only reason that the robed WrestleMania 3 Macho Man is under that one, we all wanted a robed Macho Man. Mattel finally gave it to us. The only thing that that figure was missing was the IC title inside the package. That would have been a perfect home run figure from Mattel if they had just put the IC belt in the package with him. Because when he came to the ring wearing the robe, the bandana, the sunglasses, he had that title with him. And that would have just completed the perfect package. But it was missing. It does take a little bit away, but not too much to where you're like, oh, that figure sucks. Great, great figure.
Scott, what's your next one?
How about the Toys R Us exclusive Mattel Elite Daniel Bryan from WrestleMania 30 holding up both titles?
Holding up both titles. How great was that? He wasn't wearing much in the package. It was just trunks, boots, but him holding up both titles, replicating WrestleMania 30. Excellent, excellent call on that one.
Well, and it has more meaning to us both also because we were both there. We witnessed the moment live. We were a part of it. And when you have a figure of a moment that you were a part of, it adds an extra something to that figure. The figure could suck, but if you were there in that moment and the figure represents that moment to you, that figure is gold. Luckily, this figure doesn't suck, which makes it awesome on multiple levels for me. I love that Daniel Bryan. You actually got it for me on my birthday because I had missed it at Toys R Us. I had seen it and passed on it and was like, oh, I'll get it next time I come. Problem is they dried up pretty quick. So I had regretted passing on it. I mentioned it to you. You actually went out. You and Celeste went out and found it, gave it to me on my birthday, and that thing still hangs on the wall. And if I ever meet Daniel Bryan, that's the figure I'm going to get signed.
One figure that is actually in my top 10 favorite figures of all time is the Toys R Us Triple H figure where he's wearing the Triple H skull mask with the brown robe. The detail on it, the mask, I love it, man. And I think that was from WrestleMania. Which WrestleMania was that from, Scott?
I believe that was 27 against Taker.
Was that 27?
I think so.
Just like all the elites, WrestleManias are now blending together.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, dude, it's crazy. If you asked me a match of like the last 10 years and told me which WrestleMania it was on, or asked me to tell you which WrestleMania it was on, I don't know, dude. I mean, unless it was one of the higher profile matches, I might lose that contest.
What's another figure you have?
How about the Toys R Us Mattel Elite exclusive Seth Rollins Money in the Bank?
It's my favorite Seth figure. I agree with you.
Oh, it's incredible. And it makes it even more special. Much like the Daniel Bryan WrestleMania 30 figure, we were at WrestleMania Play Button when he cashed in. So again, being part of that moment and having a figure of that moment makes it even more special. And it's my favorite Seth figure too. I can't argue at all. Great, great job by Mattel on that one. It captures him perfectly and definitely deserves to be on this list.
Another one I'll throw out there is the Bret Hart Jax Classic from WrestleMania 8 where he was in all pink.
That's a good one too. That was actually one of his better costumes. It's one of his favorite, or one of my favorites of his that he wore. And great match against Piper. One of my favorite WrestleMania matches. And Jax absolutely knocked it out of the park on his outfit on that figure. Great job by Jax.
The only problem with that Jax Classic is the IC belt is wrong.
Gotcha.
They put the IC belt that Rock wore, like 98, and not the old school IC title. So that was a Jax flub, which they don't get a pass for, but they became notorious for.
Well, I think that one released on Chinese New Year, right? So that might be why.
Yes, 100% correct. I think yes. I think that's what Jeremy said. I don't know. I'm
pretty sure.
Scott, what is another one you have?
I was watching WrestleMania 3 yesterday, actually. I just went to a couple of matches on that card. And the Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan match when Hogan is marching himself to the ring, because he's a real American brother and he doesn't need a ring cart. He's going to walk his ass to the ring. The Hogan defining moments, which is up until Storm Collectibles, new batch of Hogans, the defining moments Hogan was my favorite Hulk Hogan figure ever. If that Hulk Hogan walking to the ring at WrestleMania 3 is not the same Hulk Hogan that's in that defining moments package, dude, that thing is dead on Hogan. All the way down to the little bandana that's torn that goes over his head, that thing is perfect. The tearaway shirt, the heavyweight title belt that was accurate for that show, one of the best defining moments in the entire series. And that one definitely deserves to be on this list. The defining moments Hogan from WrestleMania 3.
And a former Macho Madness winner, too.
Absolutely. Yes, he is.
Sticking with Hogan, how about the Hogan Mail-Away Hasbro?
Oh, what a great figure. And maybe a little bit of a sore spot for you, Jeff, because he wore that outfit to the ring to defeat Yokozuna after Yoko had defeated Brett, no thanks to Mr. Fuji and his salt. But yeah, a great, great addition to the Hasbro series. Made extra special because it was a mail away, and also extra special given its current day value. But on top of that, you look at the figure, the thing's perfect. It is a great looking Hogan figure. And yes, you can call it a repaint if you want, but that thing is spot on.
Hogan was in yellow boots, red pants, red tank top, and a bandana.
The only thing he was missing was a black eye.
Scott, what is another one you have?
Rounding out my list is going to be the Jax Deluxe Classic RSC exclusive Ric Flair from his retirement match against Shawn Michaels. I think they did a great job capturing Flair, his likeness, the robe. That figure is outstanding. It comes with the Hall of Fame plaque as well. Great looking figure, and I've seen one or two autographed. And I've got to say, if I ever met Flair again, I've already got a signature on the Times Square WrestleMania exclusive that came from the Times Square Toys R Us. I've got that signed, but if I ever meet Flair again, I'm probably going to try to get my hands on one of those figures to get that thing signed, because it is a beauty.
You did mention Shawn Michaels, because that's who he faced in his retirement match. But what about the Shawn Michaels WrestleMania 12, where he came with all the championships and the Hall of Fame trophy, your favorite figure?
That one's perfect. And again, I wasn't at Ric Flair's retirement match, but I was at WrestleMania 12 when HBK faced Brett in that Iron Man match, Jeff. Your favorite match of all time, I'm sure, given the circumstances surrounding the end of that match. But yeah, again, extra special because we were there. They captured his costume perfectly. They put all of his championships won inside the package with him. Great looking figure.
So that rounds out our WrestleMania figures, our figures of gentlemen in their WrestleMania attire. I mentioned that to you kind of like, hey, let's talk about guys in their WrestleMania attire. I mean, there's guys that wear the same thing. It's like Big John Studd wore white tights at WrestleMania 1. You know, we could have said that we wanted to actually think of attire or something that was significant about the person from that moment. Like Scott mentioned the Daniel Bryan, the Ric Flair Deluxe Classic, where he had the blue robe, just stuff like that.
Well, an honorable mention, Jeff, I guess would be Rey Mysterio, as he's had quite a few figures released of his WrestleMania attires as well. So Rey Mysterio, I guess we're remiss in not mentioning him, but he had quite a few figures of his WrestleMania attire, and all of those were really well done too.
So we're just going to say Rey Mysterio. We're not even going to say which one. It's just it's a blanket one.
Yeah, there were multiple and they were all really well done. And one more that we might have to add to the list when she's released is the Becky Lynch Ultimate Edition. And she's going to be in her WrestleMania 35 outfit. And we'll have to see how the head sculpt or the head scan looks on her. But she might have to get added to the list if it's a good one.
What about Killer Bees from WrestleMania 3?
And see, that's the problem, Jeff, is that when you get into older WrestleManias, it just the guys didn't have special gear. Right? They kind of just wore the same thing that they wore on Saturday morning.
Yep.
And for the TV tapings. It just, you could say, okay, King Kong Bundy. You could say the Killer Bees. You could say Billy Jack Haynes. Anybody, really. But they didn't really have special WrestleMania gear. And that's kind of changed over the years, which is why this was pretty Jax and Mattel heavy.
So that rounds out our fun little WrestleMania talk. Scott, we do have a little bit of news. What do you say we jump into it?
Let's talk about it.
Oh, you gonna learn today.
It's Scott, Super 7 had some news regarding their New Japan figures this past week. So they sent out a little tweet or Instagram message or wherever this came from. It says, Super 7 Ultimates, New Japan figures information thus far. Customers who placed pre-orders through Super 7 from November 1st to November 30th can expect to have Wave 1 figures in their hands in July, possibly even by the end of June. Which is funny because I was thinking that they were going to hit around the middle of June. At least that's what I thought originally. Or was it early?
It was May. Yeah, it was in May they were supposed to hit. So you're looking at about a 1 to 2 month delay.
Oh, okay. That's not bad. That's not bad. Wave 1 is still available for pre-order through other online retailers. As shown in the images and videos of Okada and Tanahashi figures, the head sculpts will be updated. As shown in the images and videos of the Ishii figure, the final product will feature white wrist tape. As shown in the images and videos of the Okada figure, the ring gear will be updated to Okada's Wrestle Kingdom 13 ring attire. The Okada figure was originally planned to be featured in Okada's Wrestle Kingdom 11 ring attire. So Wrestle Kingdom 13 is where he went back to wearing trunks and after a year long of wearing pants.
And the crowd went crazy.
Oh man, pants pop, dude. Pants pop. Also, the Okada figure will include the IWGP Heavyweight Championship as opposed to the IWGP Intercontinental Championship that was pictured in the original images and videos. A lot of people picked up on that. And Tanahashi had the IWGP Heavyweight. Okada had the Intercontinental title. Simple mistake. They fixed it. So, and last, Wave 2 will be announced, revealed in due time. The packaging preview for the Wave 2 Naito figure was displayed at New York Toy Fair. So, Naito is guaranteed for Wave 2, which we thought was basically a given.
Yeah, that's pretty much a no-brainer. He is your dual champion right now. And Jeff, if you remember, FTC, when they first got the ROH line, they had another name that was going to be in Series 1. And that name got bumped in favor of pulling Jay Lethal from Series 2 into Series 1 because he was the current ROH champion. So smart move of Super 7 to pull Naito. I'm really surprised he didn't make it into Series 1, but to at least get him into Series 2.
I think that was Adam Cole who was originally supposed to be in Series 1, if I'm not mistaken.
That sounds right to me. There was a name pulled in favor of putting Jay Lethal in. And I think you're right. I want to say that was Adam Cole.
So, Scott, that rounds out the little bit of news that we had. Scott, it is time to get into the listener segment. What you say?
Let's talk to him.
And I just want to hear from my people. Tell me, can I hear from my people? I just want to hear from my people. And I just want to listen to the listeners.
Scott, this is the listener segment, but before we get into reading all the emails that came in this past week, we need to touch on what you guys heard at the very, very beginning of the show of David Myers' story. And we wanted to put that in at the very beginning of the show because how cool is that? I mean, one, the grandparents would sit there and watch his matches. They would help him set up arenas. A lot of people have those memories. A lot of people have the memories of their parents sitting there and watching them play with figures or helping them set up something with figures. That is Fig Life. That is part of Fig Life right there. And Scott and I wanted to put that in at the beginning of the show because that story touched us. And I know, David, thank you for sending that over. And thank you for opening up about that because that's awesome, man. And we were more than happy to put it at the beginning of the show because that's Fig Life right there.
Yeah, David, we're really sorry to hear about your grandmother. Our condolences definitely go out to you and your family. You know we love you. We thank you for the kind words. And it was one of those things, as soon as we heard it, we knew we had to put it at the top of the show because, as Jeff said, there are so many people listening that can relate to that story in one way, shape, or form, whether it's completing your Hasbro set or fond memories of playing with your Hasbros or fond memories of playing with your Hasbros at your grandparents' house. Jeff, you and I, how many times did we take our Hasbros, our Remcos, our entire collection of LJNs, sometimes both rings, over to Grandma and Grandpa's? Because if you remember when duck season would start and Dad would go hunt, that very first weekend of duck season, Mom would take us over to Grandma and Grandpa's and we'd spend the entire weekend there. It was a tradition. Well, when LJNs came into existence, every time we went over to grandma's and grandpa's, of course, both collections, which means two rings of LJNs, had to go to grandma's and grandpa's with us. It was the same when the Hasbros were out. It was the same when we had the Remcos. Sometimes we were taking three different sets of wrestling figures over to grandma's and grandpa's and playing with them there over that weekend and taking everything back home on Sunday when dad would get home. So in hearing David's story, it also made me remember those great times at our grandparents' house playing with wrestling figures too, packing up the trunk full of LJNs, keeping the Hasbros or the Remcos on our laps. And it takes you to a happier time, or your happy place, if you will. And David, we love you. Thank you so much for sharing that story. And I know it touched a lot of people listening to this show right now.
It's funny, you mentioned the stories about coming over here opening weekend. You know, Grandma and Grandpa, they never had cable over here.
Well, you're saying here. You're saying, because I don't know if listeners know, but you live in our grandparents' house.
Yes. You mentioned the story about bringing wrestling figures over here opening day of duck season. And I remember Grandma and Grandpa not having cable. So I would watch WWF Superstars and then there was nothing to watch.
Yes. That drove us nuts.
Yes. Because TBS was on cable, obviously. So there was nothing to watch. So we would grab, as Scott said, the Remcos. We would grab the LJNs and play for hours on top of hours. And there was really nothing else to do over here. I mean, we would color, take naps. What else would we do? Go walking around? I mean, there was just really nothing to do because they didn't have cable. So,
dude, one time mom did take us home so we could watch NWA. One time. We left grandma and grandpa. She took us by Honey Treat Yogurt. We got Honey Treat Yogurt. She took us to the house. Honey Treat was a frozen yogurt joint back in the day. Took us to the house. We watched NWA for 2 hours, and then we went back to grandma and grandpa's. And I think she picked up food and took it back there with us. But we begged her, just begged her, and would not leave her alone. Mom, please, it's going to be a good episode today. Please take this. And I'm sure it wasn't a good episode. I'm sure it was all of the stars against all of the jobbers. But we had to see NWA, and we begged her, and she relented. But hearing David's story, it took me right back to that place. And it gave me a good feeling, and hopefully to everybody listening, it gave you a good feeling as well.
Absolutely. David, thank you again. Scott, next question comes in from Adam Winter. Hello, Jeff and Scott. I hope you and your families are staying safe in this crazy, crazy time that we are living in right now. With WrestleMania coming up, I decided to ask you a if you could play today question. I want you to pick three WrestleMania matches you would recreate in your own image using whatever figure you want. Only catch is, no repeat superstars in the three matches you would recreate. Here is mine. Shawn Michaels and Taker from 25. Shawn Michaels would be the WrestleMania 14 Elite versus the Purple Undertaker Elite. That's his favorite WrestleMania match. WrestleMania 33 Raw Tag Team Ladder Match. Hardys from Epic Moments. Cesaro and Sheamus in the Tuxedo Elites. Enzo and Cass in their newest Elites. Anderson and Gallows Elites. It was the only WrestleMania I attended. It was so cool to hear the Hardy Boys return. WrestleMania 6 main event, Hulk Hogan defining moment versus Ultimate Warrior Classic Superstars Series 1. The first WrestleMania I got to watch on video. I hope this question makes sense. Thanks guys for all you do, and I enjoy listening every week. Adam Winter. Thank you, Adam. All right, Scott, we have to do two main events in a tag team match.
Ooh, okay. So actually, I guess this kind of ties into the conversation we had earlier about guys in their WrestleMania gear. So just pulling one off the top of my head, how about the Daniel Bryan WrestleMania 30 versus your Triple H in his WrestleMania 27 ring gear?
Okay. I don't hate that. That's actually pretty good.
And that would have been from WrestleMania 30.
Tag team match, Demolition Hasbros versus Rick Martel and Tito Santana Hasbros. Even though they were in wrong attire. Okay, let's redo it. Demolition Jacks Classic versus Strikeforce Jacks Classics.
Okay, better.
I knew that would make you happy.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, we're watching a tag team match of Demolition versus The Model and The Matador. Like, ugh.
Dude, it's funny. I've been watching a lot of Saturday Night's Main Event. There were two Saturday Night Main Events shows back-to-back where Rick Martel and Tito Santana faced each other.
Oh, really? Yeah, was there a clear-cut winner?
The second match there was.
Okay.
Model beat Tito in the second match. But it was funny, dude. That was like the never-ending feud. Steve from the PPW podcast talks about this all the time. Model and Tito, even in Royal Rumbles, when in the later dates, they always went after each other.
if Marty Jannetty had stuck around, I bet HBK and Marty Jannetty would have fought like that too.
Probably. Okay, we need one more match.
Oh, a main event match. Dude, how about the biggest match in WrestleMania history? And no, I am not talking SD Jones and King Kong Bundy.
Hart Foundation versus Bolsheviks. What?
Wasn't that a squash match?
It was a squash match.
It was. That's why you love it.
Vince is like, you got 4 minutes with entrances. Go.
Yeah. Good luck, Bolsheviks. How about the biggest match ever in WrestleMania history? Arguable, I guess. But I don't know if they'll ever do a match bigger than this one. Hogan and Andre. And I'm going to go Storm versus Storm. How about the Storm Hulk rules versus the new Storm Andre the Giant?
Oh, I like what you did there. Good call.
Thank you.
So that is the three matches. I apologize. I misread that. I thought it was two main events in a tag match. It's the undercard, tag match, and main event. So Scott and I just answered that. Adam, thank you for sending that in. Scott, next question comes in from Michael Sugarman. It's about bidets. I'm just kidding.
Oh, I was like, oh, come on, dude. We flushed the bidet question, right?
We sprayed that one.
All right, good. We hosed that one down.
Michael Sugarman asks, in light of the understandable lack of news, my question is, can you briefly recap the non-WWE AEW figures we can look forward to? What do New Japan Boss Fight FTC have announced thus far? No worries if you skip. Just thought it could be helpful. So everybody knows about the AEW figures that are coming out. The first series is Brandy, Cody, Bucks, Kenny, and Jericho. So that is wave one right there. Boss Fight and Masked Republic are doing the Legends of Lucha figures, which is Penta and Phoenix for wave one. They have Conan in wave two, and without the list in front of me, I am drawing a blank. I think it was Lady Maravilla.
That is correct, yes.
Thank you, Scott.
They've got a basic series coming out too.
Oh, that's right. The basic figure's coming out as well.
Yeah, cheaper price point.
They have a bunch of accessories coming up as well, like kendo sticks and dog collars and bunch of accessories. So Boss Fight and Masked Republic is throwing a bunch of stuff at us that I cannot wait for. FTC has a lot in the hopper. They have a Marty Skrull head sculpt going on. They have a Scott Norton figure coming out that a lot of people are looking forward to. They have Francine coming up. PCO, they've got the head sculpt done on that one. Joey Janela, they just showed off the rendering for. They've got a lot coming up. And then Super 7, we just talked about in the news segment regarding the New Japan line. So there's a lot to look forward to. And when everything hits, our pocketbooks will be crying and weeping. So there's a lot going on over here.
But it's a good problem to have. And let's not forget, too, Super 7, as mentioned in the previous question, they've got that Andre the Giant big scale figure coming out as well. In addition to that, they've got the Andre 3¾-inch figure coming out. And I believe there's two versions of that one that are going to be released. So a lot of wrestling figures outside of the world of Mattel soon to be releasing.
Michael, thank you for making us use our brain and have to recap everything.
At least it wasn't a bidet question this time.
I'm actually disappointed in Michael that it wasn't a bidet question.
Michael, we hope you and the baby and the wife are doing well, my friend.
Thank you, Michael. Scott, next question comes in from Scott Morris. He said, hey guys, love the bonus episode with Travis and Hova interviews. I'm not on Twitter, so hearing these guys whose names you frequently mention on the show was a treat. Also, their toy collecting stories got me thinking. I have several memories of begging my parents to stop at toy stores while on family vacation, either while driving through a random city or in our actual vacational spots, which for my family was usually to the beach. I don't know what it was, but I always seemed to strike gold on these toy hunting trips. So my anticipation of stopping at new stores was almost as exciting as the actual vacation. For instance, my dad would stop for lunch at a mall so we could eat wherever we wanted in the food court. After devouring a slice of Sbarro pizza,
you loved Sbarro's, dude.
Oh, don't even get me started.
Do you remember at Stone Ridge Mall, Sbarro's was right across from McDonald's?
Yeah,
and
sure.
We'd always, But McDonald's would not let you take Sbarro's into McDonald's, but you could take McDonald's into Sbarro's.
Yes.
So mom and I would go to McDonald's, get our food, and then we'd have to go over to Sbarro's for you.
Yeah, and then I got food poisoning, and I vomited up Sbarro's, and that was the last time I ever had that.
And I think that was the last time anybody saw Sbarro's at that mall, too. That one disappeared pretty quick.
I went to KB for the first time, found Series 2 Hasbro. The only ones they had were Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Roddy Piper, both of which I bought. I remember seeing rows and rows of starting lineup figures at Toys R Us in Florida, and they had ones I never saw in my local stores. I don't know why, but I liked the Mets back then, so I got Daryl Strawberry, Dwight Gooden, and Gary Carter. Three good ones to have.
Awesome.
While stopping off at another Toys R Us one year, I found two new figures from the Toy Biz X-Men line. I was a big comic book fan back in the middle of school, so I had brought along a few issues to read during the car trip, along with the back issue of Wizard magazine that had an article from a toy convention. For the younger listeners, Wizard was a very popular magazine during the early 90s comic collecting boom. Scott, do you remember that?
I do. I collected it.
I remember holding that issue mirror centimeters from my face trying to see who the new figures were. So now my question for you, do you guys have any childhood toy hunting stories, good or bad, from when you were on a family vacation? As always, keep up the great work. Stay safe during these crazy times. Scott Morris. Thank you, Scott. That was awesome. I love hearing those stories. Scott, any trips to Shasta, any trips to Disneyland where we found toys?
No, because when we were heading there, our dad was the one that's like, we're going to make good time. Like, that was his concern. Like, we were not stopping for anything but food and gas. And we could hit, like, if there was a liquor store next to the restaurant we were eating at, we could go in to grab, like, a wrestling magazine or something. But then it was right back on the road. So what our mom would do is she would pack us a little goodie bag before going on the trip. And she would have each of our goodie bags in our seat when we'd get inside the car. And there would be, like, usually, like, a toy and some snacks or whatever. So we would get something like that, but we never, ever stopped anywhere. Like, dad was just, let's get there. We'll stop for food and gas, and that's it. We got to go. So really, our trips were encompassed with reading wrestling magazines on the way to the destination with our headphones on. And we didn't really stop and get anything. But mom would usually get us something before going. Like, I remember for one time, for example, we were going to Lake Shasta, and mom got me the Tomax and Zaymot G.I. Joe twins right before going on the Shasta trip. And I had taken a bunch of my G.I. Joe figures, so being able to add those two into the collection was awesome. And she would do that pretty much for every vacation we did. She would have a little goodie bag in the seat, but we never stopped while we were out.
I remember going up to Auntie's all the time, and we would always stop at McDonald's, and I forget which city that was in. Was that in, that wasn't in Stockton, was it?
No, it wasn't Stockton. It, oh man, Linden maybe? It might have been Linden. It was on the way.
But next door was a liquor store that always had wrestling magazines that we never saw down here.
Yep.
So we would always go eat our breakfast and then run over to the liquor store. And I still remember, and dad was, as you said, dad was always the person that pedal to the metal, want to get going. Not that many stops.
Right.
So we go eat our McDonald's breakfast and we run over to the liquor store to see what wrestling magazines they have. But the liquor store was closed and they opened, I want to say, at like 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. or something like that. And it was like 9:30 and everybody was done with their breakfast. I remember we made mom and dad stay the extra 30 minutes. Dad was like pacing. He's like, what time is it? Dad, it's like 9:45. Oh, 15 minutes. Oh, oh. So I still remember that one. And I think that's the one where I got car sick going up to Auntie's.
Oh, yeah. You almost barfed on my head, dude.
So backstory of this one is our parents had this big, big Buick. This thing was a tank. So mom and dad were in the front seat. Scott and I were in the back seat. Scott had his head on the armrest. He had kind of just kind of scooted over and kind of laid parallel to, so his head was on the armrest. What I didn't know is that I get car sick and I have motion sickness. And actually, it's funny because it's gotten worse as I've gotten older. So we're going through the twisty turnies, as I used to call them, through the country hill roads and, you know, a lot of turns and swaying through. And anyways, I'm reading Transformers comic book. And as we're going through, we had just eaten McDonald's. I had my Transformers comic book that I was reading. And then I feel it. It's hitting the stomach kind of hard. And I put down the magazine and I look over at Scott. Scott's sound asleep. And I'm like, oh, I don't feel good. And now I'm still staring at Scott like, it would be funny to puke on Scott's head. At that last moment, right as everything is coming up, I turn my head and Mom would always pack a blanket for us. So if we got cold in the car, we could put the blanket over us. I turn my head at the last second, missing Scott's head and puking on the purple blanket that was sitting in front of us.
I would have never stopped punching you.
But back to the original question, there was no stopping at toy stores or anything like that. We were lucky enough that Dad would let us run over to that liquor store and get the wrestling magazines or comic books.
Oh, for sure. And you know, it's funny. He brought up both X-Men and Starting Lineup, two things that I collected. You didn't collect X-Men, Jeff, but you did collect Starting Lineups with me.
Yep.
And he's right. Those earlier series of Starting Lineups, when you turn the card over, there were so many names on the back of that. I don't even know, like 300 and something players. It was a goofy number.
Right.
And he's right. Scott's right. They were very, very regional. A lot of the times, it depended on which store you were at. Sometimes they got in like weird teams. Like you could find like all the Cincinnati Reds. Or in Scott's case, he found a bunch of the Mets players. I remember when we went to Disneyland one year, which would have been in August, probably like August 88, August 89, we went to a mall out there and there was a sports store that had a bunch of starting lineups in there. They had a bunch of the Angels players, which in our area, the Bay Area, we didn't get Angels. And so I think we grabbed a couple of the Angels and yeah, it was really cool trying to complete that because they had a little checklist on the back. Good luck. But yeah, we were able to get a bunch of different starting lineups by doing that. But yeah, on the way to a destination, nope. Like Jeff said, pedal to the metal.
That's a great story, though. I love the stories that you were telling, and especially with that you were able to find Hasbro Series 2. That is awesome, man, that you were able to find that. That's like one of those cool things. You're like in a weird destination, like a different... It's like me going to Colorado all the time, and I'm like, oh, I just found this, or I just found that.
Yeah, your international toy spotting.
Scott, last question of the week comes in from Josh Thompson. Hey, Jeff and Scott, JT back with that weekly question. This week, I wanted to ask you guys what backstage playsets you'd like to see Wicked Cool Toys do for AEW. Going off of Jack's classic nostalgia, I'd like to see AEW do some sets that are love letters to one Jax used to do. A playset that's similar to the Hallway of Pain set. Some playsets that are similar to the Jax mini backstage playsets and so on. You know what I would love for them to do, Scott?
What?
The Jericho Cruise.
Oh, wow. Dude, how do you even make that happen?
I have no idea, but make it happen.
It would be like the deck of a ship with a ring in the middle of it?
Yep.
Okay, there it is. Would we put a nice little buffet next to it as well?
Yes, please.
Okay, okay. Yes. But nobody's going on cruises for at least another year, I'm sure.
But other backstage sets, I'm trying to think of the segments where they've been backstage, and it's nothing really that special.
What about like a luxury suite?
Yeah, because Jericho's like, I've got a ticket.
Yeah, you could do something like that, like make like a luxury box. Shoot, that would even work if you were playing like Invasion Angle when they had Invasion at WrestleMania X7 when the guys were sitting up in the little box up there when yes. Tyson was at the Royal Rumble. So you could actually recreate a couple of scenes. And I think AEW, like you said, Jeff, has used that. Even like a basic locker room, you could use that bit of the bubbly Jericho that's coming out, the RSC exclusive. Because it's got the little table and all the cool stuff with it. You could put that inside the locker room.
Maybe like a wait area. But I don't remember there ever being a wait area in any of the segments. Because I'm trying to think of the show. Like, there's the scenes where Cody is walking with Pharaoh and Brandy. Or he's walking to the ring or something like that. There's that. There's nothing really that goes on backstage outside of the interview area.
What about just a stage? Like the entrance stage?
Yeah, you could do that.
And I'm not talking anything elaborate like what we saw at Access a few years ago from Mattel, but something, and I'm not talking anything as small as the Titantron live stage either, but something kind of like a fun in between. You know, if the price point of their ring coming out with the Kenny Omega figure is in like the $90 range, you know, there's no reason that a little bit bigger stage can't be released in like the $125 range. You know, you don't produce as much of it. So maybe you make a cool stage to go with them along with a few little backstage sets. Like a locker room, a luxury suite. There's a number of things you could do.
And I know I'm being the elite. Matt Jackson is a barista. So that would be kind of funny to kind of have coffee cups sitting around.
So you're going to do like a Starbucks playset?
Yeah. It comes with okay. a Tony Schiavone because he used to be a Starbucks barista.
A Tony Schiavone? Yeah, I think you should definitely have like a broadcast area because I'm sure at some point they're going to do Excalibur, which that would be incredible. The first Excalibur figure. I would love that. I'm sure you're going to get a Tony Schiavone, a JR, an Excalibur figure. So you should make like a little broadcast booth as well.
Thank you, JT, for your weekly question. Scott, we are going to round it out with our nostalgia segment of defining moments. What do you say we jump into it?
Let's do it.
Scott, the next two defining moments that we are going to go over, let's start with Stone Cold Steve Austin. It had skulls in the background. As I had mentioned, the defining moments packaging had kind of changed where they were adding kind of designs in the background. Well, for Stone Cold Steve Austin, they put skulls in the background. He came with three belts, the Smoking Skull Belt, the Winged Eagle, and the big circular heavyweight title. Black vest with Austin on the right side of the vest and 316 on the lower left-hand side. Scott, what did you think of that defining moment?
Great looking Austin. And this would have been like WrestleMania 14 Austin. And they put him with all of the titles. It looks great inside the packaging. Those titles really add a lot to the figure. And I would even suggest it's kind of perceived value. Meaning you see this great looking figure that you're getting with the vest accessory, the knee braces, but then you're getting three title belts with them as well. That's perceived value. That's adding value to the figure, and it looks amazing inside the package. As you mentioned, they added those details to the inside of the box. Really, really made a nice presentation piece, and it's a great looking Stone Cold figure, and it looks even better when it's hand signed.
Yeah, it does. I think Nick Jacoby got that one signed.
I think you're right.
On eBay, there was 8 listings that were ranging from $30 to $70. One had a buy it now for $150. Dude was just shooting a shot, so why not?
Hey, why not?
Next up in the defining moments was the Great American Bash Sting. Had a jacket sequence in the back because he was wearing the American jacket. Molded jacket with molded strings. 16 listings on eBay between $16 and $30.
I don't know that I am a huge, huge fan of this figure. And maybe it's because the Crow figure was so good that this one following up, I know what they were going for. It would have been cooler, I think, maybe if they had put that world title that he won at the Bash 90 inside the package with him, as we discussed with that Macho Man WrestleMania 3 defining moments. Would have been accentuated a lot by putting that Intercontinental title in with Macho Man. I think the world title that Sting won at Bash 90 from Ric Flair, including that title belt inside the package of this defining moment, I think it would have helped it a lot. Much like the Austin with the three titles inside the package with them, it just added a really cool appearance to the overall presentation. I think the same could be said if they included that world title belt with Sting. Just a piece that's missing. The figure itself is fine. And as far as I know, this thing was pretty prevalent. What's funny about this figure is my mother-in-law loves going to Dee Dee's discount stores. And she found this Sting at a Dee Dee's discount store. And I think it was like $5.99.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I never bought it in the store. Because in the store, I think it was like $20, $22, something like that. It was an easy pass for me. As much as I loved the Great American Bash 90 and Sting finally winning the world heavyweight title from Flair, it was such a great moment. The figure itself is good, but I think not only with the world title being added would have helped it, I think maybe a cloth goods jacket would have helped it as well, because the molded jacket, I think it just kind of takes something away, because Jax did a Sting similar to this, not exactly like this. He had white tights instead of blue. And it was a great figure that Jax did in their TNA Legends line. This is kind of the figure that they were trying to mirror. But I think this figure would have been better served with a cloth goods jacket. I think it would have looked better because the tassels just looked weird. When you do molded tassels, especially the way they string together, it gives it an awkward appearance. The figure itself is really good, but there's just a number of things that could have made it a lot better. But if you have to have a Great American Bash 90 Sting in your collection, this one is a good one to add because Jeff's about to get into the eBay listings. And if you have to have a Bash 90 Sting, this is definitely where you'll want to look.
There were 16 listings for this Great American Bash Sting, so it's prevalent on eBay, between $16 and $30. Remember, all these are not including shipping.
Yeah, and in the store when you bought it, I think it was, like I said, $20 or $22. So the fact that you can get it for $16, it kind of shows you how plentiful these things were on the pegs. And also collectors' opinions of them. Because even figures that were super plentiful back in the day, i.e. Roman Reigns Retro, they now have tremendous value because people want that figure now. Same can't be said about this one. It's a good figure. It could have been a lot better.
Or you could have paid $40 at Access for it because you originally saw it and you didn't know if you would ever see it again.
But you're not bitter or anything, Jeff.
No, I've actually lost money on this figure.
You could have bought like two of them at that price.
Well, think about it, dude. You could have bought eight of them at DD's discount.
True.
Wait, what did you say it was?
$5.99.
Oh, yeah. You could have bought seven of them and had money left over.
Poor Jeff.
I know. Hey,
but look, to your credit, you didn't know, right? You had no idea if this thing was going to be a peg clogger or if it was going to be one that you would see once and never see again. You don't know, and that's the gamble that you play with being into the wrestling figure game. I've always been of the mindset, much like you were at that Access, Jeff, when you see it, you buy it because you don't know if you're going to see it again. I've been in that boat way too many times. I told the story earlier about the Daniel Bryan WrestleMania 30 figure. I have to keep learning that lesson over and over again, so I can't fault you for buying that Sting.
If any listeners was at WrestleMania 32 Access and bought that Great American Bash Sting, please hit me up because we can wallow together.
Start a support group.
Yeah, a support group.
My name is Jeff, and I spent $40 on that Sting figure.
Yeah, whatever. All right. So that
moving
is
on.
That is the defining moments talk for this week. Want everybody to head over to Wrestling Toy Tracker, where over there they have the price points for Galoobs, LJNs, Hasbros, Retros, and also Just Toys Bend'em. They have mint on card prices and also loose prices. So go check them out if you are in the hunt for any of those and ready to start a collection. If you can, go for it. Jump on it. Use Wrestling Toy Tracker as your old school Beckett type deal. Scott, how about that FOCO deal we've got going on?
Jeff, do you want to prove you're the undisputed world heavyweight champion of WWE fandom? Of course you do. FOCO.com is here to help. With FOCO's WWE bobbleheads, you can visit Suplex City with Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman, let in the Fiend Bray Wyatt, and break some glass with Stone Cold Steve Austin. FOCO's line of WWE bobbleheads includes all your favorite superstars and legends from then, now, and forever, including Becky Lynch, The Rock, Ric Flair, John Cena, Seth Rollins, AJ Styles, Ronda Rousey, Andre the Giant, and more. These bobbleheads from FOCO are handcrafted and hand-painted to depict the biggest names in sports entertainment, making them must-haves for fans and collectors alike. Don't miss out on these awesome collectibles. Head to FOCO.com now. That's FOCO.com. Once again, FOCO.com, where at checkout, you can save yourself 10% by entering code WFP10. Again, at checkout, save 10%. Use code WFP10 over at FOCO.com. Jeff, that's FOCO.com.
Also want to throw it back to the podcast buddies. Breaker and Bane over there have to deal with Bill Benis, and I'm so sorry. That guy is something else. He keeps bragging about an 18-year veteran. Anyways, Breaker and Bane on the podcast do wrestling talk, figure talk, all this other fun and exciting talk. They have a guest in each week. Check out Breaker and Bane's Power Hour. Also check out Breaker's side project Back to the Nintendo, where he and his tag team partner Brett play Nintendo games. And they also give a review of the game, and they also have an average price of the game that they are playing. That is Back to the Nintendo on iTunes. Scott, your beard is growing all over the place, man.
Yeah, I think eventually, by the time this whole thing is said and done, I'm going to look like one of the characters from Planet of the Apes. I'm just going to have all my hair grown out on top. All my facial hair is going to be grown out. I'm going to need probably a belt sander to kind of put everything back into place. But what I can say is that in order to manage this beard, because it hasn't been trimmed in a few weeks, I highly suggest, like myself, you guys head over to OutsidersBeardCo.com, where at checkout, if you purchase any of Bane's oils or balms, you can save yourself 10% by using code FULLYPOSABLE10. Again, OutsidersBeardCo.com. If you don't want your beard hairs smelling like your butt hairs, use code FULLYPOSABLE10. Save yourself 10%. Get yourself some balm. Get yourself some oil. Spruce yourself up a little bit. Pretend you're going out. Why not?
Eric and Barry each week do a Figs and Merch episode. Eric was just on the episode of Me Playing Telephone this past week. Check out that with Eric and Rad Chad. That was a fun interview with those two guys. Two separate interviews. I interviewed Rad Chad first, and then I called Eric. So it's just kind of a fun little thing I'm doing while quarantined up. It's a thing called telephone. And I just call random Fig Lifers and see what they're up to and how life is treating them and kind of get their backstory regarding figures. So go listen to that. I didn't want Barry on, Scott. He has been way too negative on Twitter lately.
We've had this talk already.
I know. His Twitter thumbs are strong.
You should try his wrestling knowledge. It's even stronger.
Oh, dude, that wrestling brain of his is insane, man.
Yes, agree.
He's a walking encyclopedia of knowledge of wrestling.
He is. Like, if there was a wrestling game show and it was like a stump the so-and-so, like, he would be the guy to stump.
Check out Eric and Barry every once in a while. They do watch-alongs, and that's also fun. So check them out on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast from. Steve, over at the PPW podcast, just had, you want to take a guess, Scott?
Mexican food.
Well, he did have Mexican food out here at the second best taqueria.
A hamburger.
Probably, but that I cannot confirm. No, he had Brandon Hova on his show.
Oh, I was going in the wrong direction. I apologize.
Yes, they actually talked about wrestling junk. So, you know, Hova has a bunch of stuff. Hova was telling on our show where he said his eBay searches are just absolutely off the wall. Like, he's searching for Nitro Grill stuff right now.
Nitro Grill?
Yeah, don't you remember the place inside Vegas?
Yes, I do. We actually strolled through there.
Yeah, he's actually looking for like menus or a bunch of random stuff. So he's like searching stuff out on eBay. And he's like, dude, this is stuff I wanted to show you at the Fig Life meetup. I wanted to show you my eBay searches that have been going on.
That is awesome. I wonder if he has anything from WWE New York.
Well, if you go back and listen to the episode, he mentions that where him and his dad flew to New York one day just to go to the WWE New York restaurant where Brandon said he stole like a drink menu and bought a shot glass and stuff, and then they flew home.
Nice.
Yeah, he said it's just like a quick 45-minute flight from Buffalo to Manhattan, and he said, yeah, he goes, I took a drink menu, got a shot glass.
Nice, that is awesome. I was a little concerned when you said they were discussing wrestling junk. I thought maybe you guys were going to start talking about Daniel Bryan from the last pay-per-view.
Oh, what?
I liked your story better.
Daniel Bryan's hang low was out, huh?
Hey. I'm not one to gossip. You didn't hear that from me.
He needed to use Bane's beard oil.
Yes, it definitely. I don't know if it burns downstairs. I really don't know. So if you're asking for a friend, I can't help you.
No, I was talking about his beard, dude. His beard.
Oh, his beard. Oh, yeah. Yes. Bane's stuff works great on your beard.
Yes, yes. Not like he's got Barry in a scissors lock or something, you know?
Moving what? On.
So check out PPW podcast from this past week. Marty and Sarah each week welcome in their buddies. Ryan Buds does daily trivia. In fact, he's been doing a lot of Facebook Live trivia. I think tonight was Nicktoons.
Oh, nice. Great topic.
Yeah, so you can check him out on Facebook, Ryan Buds, RyanBudds. And you can play trivia online. So that's pretty cool. Scott, drunk wrestling history is a go, and what's up next?
Yes, we are sticking with the bi-weekly format until all of our content runs out. And we're hoping kind of everything is settled down by the time we're looking at doing our next recordings. It's all kind of playing it by ear. But with the bi-weekly format, I don't really have anything new to announce. But over the next couple weeks, it's going to be pretty WrestleMania 5 heavy. So look for that. You can follow us on Twitter at @wrestling_drunk. We have a t-shirt on What a Maneuver if you want to prove how drunkardly you are at the bar and maybe play some wrestling trivia with somebody. Go for it. And that is pretty much the news for drunk wrestling history. It's weird going to a bi-weekly format. It's not really something we wanted to do, but given the current circumstances and getting together, it had to go that route. Luckily, we put a poll out. Everybody was on board with it. So it's bi-weekly for the foreseeable future. And over the next couple weeks, expect a lot of WrestleMania 5.
Are you guys going to cover the Vice documentaries?
It's possible. We might. Have you watched the two Chris Benoit episodes?
Who?
Okay. Did you watch the two? Did you watch the episodes about Nancy Benoit's husband?
Yeah. What a jerk that guy was. Holy crap.
Wow. You know what I thought was really cool? And a couple people brought this up after the episode aired was, should Nancy be in the Hall of Fame? Because you always get, should the other one be in the Hall of Fame? I really like that they went in a different direction. They're like, well, what about Nancy? Like, she had quite a few accomplishments in here as well. And actually, Jericho said he 100% supports women being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And dude, I gotta say, I agree. I really do. She was a force in WCW, had a great presence. And I would 100% support WWE for putting women into the Hall of Fame. I think it's a great idea. And tonight, actually, the New Jack, well, tonight of the recording, the New Jack episode airs. And so I'm super excited to watch that one. But if you haven't had a chance yet to see the one about Nancy Benoit's husband, wow. Two-parter, and it's devastating. There's no other way to put it. It's just devastating. And not just what happened to that family, but for all of their close friends that were around them as well. Just the lasting effects. 13 years later, it's heartbreaking. It rips out your soul, man.
Yeah, that was hard to watch. He had a unhealthy obsession about Eddie.
Yes, he did.
That was borderline unhealthy.
Well, it was. Ultimately, it proved to be so, because that is what ultimately, I think, led to his downfall. And even Jericho said it. He never got over it. It just stayed with him and led him to the path that unfortunately happened. And man, I can't recommend it enough. Vice does such a good job with those documentaries. And this season is insane. The Road Warriors, Snuka, Dino Bravo, New Jack, two episodes on Nancy Benoit's husband, the Brawl for All tournament. I mean, this season is going to be off the charts. Like, how do you top it next year? I hope they haven't jumped the shark, but man, they're going to have a tall task ahead of them topping season two.
Don't forget Owen Hart, too.
Oh, dude, come on. I don't think they're going to be able to top it next year.
So check out Drunk Wrestling History on iTunes. Scott, what plugs do you have?
First and foremost, of course, as always, every single week, Jason Wolf. If you need artwork, Jason is your guy. You guys have seen the Series 3 card back design. There are a few little Easter eggs, little surprises in there for you guys. I hope you enjoyed it. I said it last week. I think that design is my favorite out of the three. And Jason he did an incredible job. And he is so easy to work with. I gave him a spreadsheet with everybody's info, and that was the end result. Literally an Excel spreadsheet turned into that. The dude's incredible. I can't say enough good things about him, from his artwork to his professionalism to his timely manner of getting the artwork done and in your hands. I can't recommend him enough. Give him a follow on Twitter at JasonWLF. Again, if you need artwork, he is your guy. Eagle Moss Jeff. If you have a pop culture or WWE fan in your life and you are looking for a special gift for that certain someone, look no further than Eagle Moss. Give them a follow on Twitter at @HeroCollector_. Check out all of the cool properties that are under their umbrella, from Battlestar Galactica to DC to Star Trek. And of course, to WWE, they have legends from past. They have current superstars. They have divas. You name it. They've got a statue. And if they don't, they're coming up. Great full color packaging with a clear window on the front with your statue displayed. They have a full color magazine on the back side of the package. Again, give him a follow on Twitter at @HeroCollector_. And Jeff, that rounds out Roll Call.
So you say Series 3 is your favorite. I don't know. There's something about them each that I love. Like, I love in the first one, I love Nick Jacoby doing the yes chant. In the second one, I love James Frank holding the camera. This one, I love being in the Four Horsemen. And I love each Cardback series. Man, I can't say this one's my favorite. It is fantastic, though. It is really good.
Each one is special, right? Each one has, like you said, a certain something to it. The first one, because it was original. Nobody had done that before. Well, I mean, okay, Hasbro had done that before, but nobody had done it with their listeners like that. So to make that bigger for Series 2, we had a wrestling ring put on the back with the special exclusive Jason Wolf figure. Then for Series 3, he has the 8-bit cart, and then he puts us with Breaker and Bane and himself as our manager as the Four Horsemen of podcasting. I mean, come on. Like, each one is so special and has its own unique something about it. And they're all great. But gun to my head, if I had to pick a favorite, I think the four of us with Wolf as our manager and the 8-bit cart. And there were some great drawings on this one. I think a lot of people. And then the Rad Chat exclusive.
Like, oh, yeah.
Dude, there's so many cool bits on this one. If you haven't seen it yet, go check out our Twitter. Jeff has posted the Series 3 card back on there. The design is awesome. We'll start planning for Series 4 here soon. Well, I guess we could tell them, Jeff. We were looking at doing Series 1 through 3 on a WrestleMania, much like we did for the first Fig Life meetup. We were going to do something similar this year where we'd have Series 1 through 3 on a poster, and we were going to be on the Tampa Bay Bucks pirate ship. And that was going to be the special poster giveaway for this year's meetup. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. So I guess we start looking ahead to Hollywood.
I still like on second one also Manny Cantu as the one-man gang, LJN.
That's perfect.
And Jordan Cassatt, like the big Andre the Giant hands. I thought that was cool too.
Oh, I love it.
I love each one, man. I love each one. The first one was so special. The second one is just as special. Same with the third. So
it's like picking your favorite kid, right?
Yeah, exactly, dude. Exactly. So, Scott, that rounds out episode 220. Anything else?
Yeah, I haven't done this in a while, but I just want to say again from Jeff and I both, truly, honestly, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you guys for listening. Times are really tough right now, and you guys are along this ride every single week with us, and both of us truly, truly appreciate it. We wouldn't have a show without you guys. We wouldn't do anything around this show without you guys. We don't move forward without you. You guys make this happen. So from the bottom of my heart, from the bottom of Jeff's heart, I just want to take a quick moment to say thank you to each and every one of you. Fig Life since 2016, and happy toy hunting.
Very well said, Scott. Thank you to everyone for listening to episode 220. Hashtag Fig Life. Adios.
Fully Posable. Let's go. Jeff and Scott, the Toon Brothers, busting out the ring. But we don't take it out the box, MOC. Happy toy hunting, we'll see you next week. We're the OGs of WFP. Fully Posable, thank you all for listening. It ain't no storyline, real life siblings. So everybody go and do your toy spotting. Hashtag Fig Life, adios from the Kings.
I wanted salmon! I said it four times! This is bullshit!